on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Let me lay it on the line. Got a little thing inside.
I love this song.
And you know that the man's got to deal with it. I don't care what they say. I'm not about to pay nobody's way. Because it's all about the dog in me. Mm-hmm. I want a freak in the morning.
A freak in the evening.
Just like me.
I need a roughneck nigga that can satisfy me.
Just for me. If you are that kind of man. Because I'm that kind of girl. I got a freaky secret everybody's saying, because we don't give a damn about it. And I'm going to be a freak until the day. Until the dawn.
You want to know my introduction to this song? Martin.
Really?
Yes, because I remember specifically Shanaynay. Maybe I'm just imagining this. I remember there was an episode of Martin where Shanaynay come around the corner and she's incorrectly singing this song.
Oh, Lord.
And I just remember thinking, whatever that is, amazing.
I like it
a
lot.
And then I think I heard it on the radio afterwards.
I don't remember. I remember this being one of the most raunchy secular songs that I had ever heard at
probably
the time.
Probably to this day.
And it was... it was because some adult in my life really liked it and refused to not play it. I don't remember who. But one of them was like, look, I put up with
probably
all that ridiculous shit, but now I am playing my fucking song. It was probably one of my older ratchet ass cousins.
Well, thanks for that, Adina Howard. I'm Adina Howard then.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. And I'll be Felicia Rashad.
T-shirt and panties.
I'll be classic. Tisha Campbell, another classic person who was on Martin as well.
And no longer Martin as well.
Oh, yes. That too. Getting a divorce from that man.
Good things happening.
You know, usually when women are getting divorced, it's a net positive for them. So congratulations, Tisha. Go for you, sis.
Did you see Lisa Ray talk about Dwayne Martin ruined her marriage?
I did see that. And
well, she didn't explicitly say that.
Right.
But after dragging Nicole Murphy by her light skin cheekbones, she then directed an information over Dwayne Martin. Said, ever since they started hanging out, when I was the first lady.
Lisa Ray seemed like the type of light skinned person who would talk shit about another bitch for being light skinned.
Where was she the first lady off Tobago?
Was she really?
I don't remember what
island she was married to somebody. You right. Lisa Ray.
It was like the prime minister or someplace. I don't remember. I'm so sorry. Whoever.
Former first lady of Turks and Caicos. There you go. Sorry, you guys. Sorry to that island.
It was an island and it starts with T and there's two of them.
You're like,
Anyways, let's do some Black excellence.
Yes, and you know who would be perfect for Black excellence this week?
Yes.
Representative Elijah Cummings, who passed away suddenly to us, you know, not to his friends and family, but last week, right after we taped the show, because of course that's always how it goes. Yeah. But Elijah Cummings had an incredibly long history doing way better things for this country than this country ever did for him. When he was 11 years old, he like organized with his friends to get a swimming pool in the neighborhood desegregated. Like 11 years old, he started.
Because damn that.
Because damn that, okay? The son of sharecroppers, he went to Howard. Howard has been not letting anybody forget that all week long.
And damn it, I wouldn't
either. Yeah. And then I think went to the University of Maryland Law School, was a lawyer for a couple of decades, and then joined the House of Representatives in 96 and got elected 12, 13 times. Just every 2 years, kept getting reelected. Like, overwhelmingly, nobody coming close to him. His community loved him. He advocated for Black people in a real way and not in that fake way a lot of y'all like to do, where it's kind of like you doing something for your people, but really you looking out for your own best interests. And he was one of the main voices out here trying to keep Trump accountable. Somebody, you know, who can actually do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main ones taking up that fight. I just read that even on his deathbed from the hospital, he was signing subpoenas like, get that motherfucker out of here.
Right.
So I just think it's a good idea that we honor Representative Cummings today and just, you know, remember that even when it feels like things are absolutely hopeless, we do have these leaders, these four Negroes who have shown us that, you know, what's really sad is that this man started his life fighting this type of shit. And I'm sure at some point he started to think, you know, things are getting better and we're moving right in the right direction. And then here come Trump. And for him to die before Donald Trump, I find personally offensive. But anyway, I just wanted
to be in a better place and watch.
That's true. You know, at least he no longer has to. He's probably, you know, sitting in the waiting room of whatever his personal heaven is.
I bet you when you live a full, like a full long Black life and you make it to heaven, you just be like, woo,
girl, let me take my shoes off.
I'm just going to sit. The first thing I'm going to do. I sit my Black ass down.
Yeah. I hope he has, you know, a big bag of hot chips and he gets to watch the rest of this unfold from the comforts of heaven. But thank you so much, sir, for your work. And may we all do more for our communities in the example that you taught us.
My heaven would have a mixing bowl full of whatever my chip of the day is.
Oh, yeah.
And it would never run out.
Mm-hmm.
Like same. Every time I eat a chip, there's a chip added.
And it's whatever, it's like whatever one I want that day. It changes all the time. Like one day it might be hot Cheetos, and the next day it's purple bags of Ritos.
Or like the machine that Kristen Bell had in The Good Place for shrimp.
Oh my God, with all the different flavors.
For chips.
I was going to say, I need one for shrimp, but you can't have no shrimp. But that was a good idea.
That was a fantastic
idea. I remember... Like she even ate the ones. Sorry, she was like, that is. But I mean, white chocolate is gross even when it's not on shrimp. So I don't like it. You know how I feel about that butter chocolate, that fucking nasty ass, ashy ass chocolate.
There's no chocolate I'm turning down.
It tastes like chocolate that had something bad happen to it.
Or something delicious.
No, it tastes like cocoa butter. You might as well just eat cocoa butter.
I'd love to. Every time I put cocoa butter on, I'm just like, yum.
Like you're supposed to smell that. Yum. It is actually disgusting. But anyway, yeah, I hope you have the shrimp machine or whatever food you love of your dreams up there, sir. Rest well.
Hey, y'all. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding a work-life balance can be tough. Okay. If anybody knows, I know. But Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. If you don't know, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. You can use Squarespace to create a website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to your time, all in one place. With the new guided design Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website that's optimized for every device and make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in certain countries, you can give customers the chance to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. Y'all know I love Squarespace. I used it to put our website together, thisis3.com. I've also used it on my personal website, crystal.com. And that is because, first of all, it's very easy to use if you ever need to update it. It's simple to log in, make whatever updates you can make or whatever you need to do without knowing any code or anything like that. And it helps me to just stay organized, do everything I need to do. Because you got to have a web presence, okay? It's 2024. You got to have a web presence. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/3 to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Let them know Kifuri and Crystal sent you. All right, let's get back to the show. Hey, y'all. Listen, we all know that life is full of the yada, yada, yada. You know, sometimes you sign up for a contract one place, and then in order to get out of it, you got to send a million letters and go up there in person. And it's just a bunch of blah, blah, blah. Like, this could have been easier. OK, we've all dealt with the yada, yada before when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in fine print, or, you know, even bills that just seem to keep going up every month for no dang reason. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then they charge you for every little thing until you might as well have just booked your ticket somewhere else. But it is possible to outsmart the yada yada, like triple checking airline deals and making sure everything you need is already included. So remember, you don't have to take the yada yada in life, and you don't have to take it from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and not a yada yada. So stop by one of the over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide to sign up today.
Time for some hot tops. That's the pop culture segment. Okay, hot tops. The Empire Strikes Jacked. And
wow.
Last to discuss, I've got a couple in the clip for you bitches.
Oh, God.
I stocked up.
Oh, Lord.
Got a couple in the chain.
Sit down and think about it.
No, I did. Because I was like, maybe last week or something, I was like, I don't have any. You know, nothing's coming to me. So I sat down and thought of some. Jack. No, I did.
Oh, man. That is just.
You have some on the show, too. I mean, the other one.
Yeah. There's two shows, right? Technically, this is also one.
So I'm going to start with one that my daddy sent to me because.
What? Your daddy sent you a hot top?
Yeah.
I know he didn't call it that.
Of course he didn't. No, just like my daddy. So the headline specifically in the text he sent me says, Kanye West angered Jamaicans by selling Jamaican merch.
Yes! I was about to say, what does it have to do with Jamaica? Because your daddy did not hear about it otherwise.
That's all my daddy does, work and watch and read Jamaican news. That's it.
Oh, a king.
So...
what did he do to your people?
Smokey Nor full of shit decided that he wanted to run out to the island and have his Sunday service bullshit out there.
Oh no.
Fucking
what?
Fucking singing Shirley Caesar to the tune of Freak Me by Silk.
Shut up.
And I'm exhausted.
Not what happened.
And so apparently he was out there and he was selling merch. Jesus is King merch with Jamaican flags and shit on it for upwards of $60, $200, $40, $50, and things like that, which is clear exploitation of the island, the flag,
right,
things of that nature. Oh, and Lord. The girls are over it. I guess not enough to, I mean, plenty of niggas went from what I saw. Spice was out there happily on IG.
Oh, Lord.
Everybody having a good time. So,
I mean, well, did they have free food, alcohol, something like that to draw niggas in? Because I might have went if they was like all the jerk chicken that you could possibly eat.
That's just
mayhem.
A given anyway.
Okay, well.
Like, you're just going to eat. You're yeah. On, you know.
Well,
that's
I
just
mean,
food for you.
That's just what that's y'all. That's just normal. Yeah. Okay, right.
But I mean, I felt it pertinent to bring this up, just as Jamaican American, as well as the son of a Jamaican who personally sent me a message about this.
That's so funny.
So for my father, I guess I say, "Hey, little thinking idiot boy, come out of my blood clot yard with your bumble pussy ass clot fuckery." And that's just for my dad. Also.
Oh, man. I understood that.
Yeah, it's not that. I mean, it's like.
I'm getting better.
It's like, it's on the edge of English.
It is. It's right there.
Apparently, some white man that is Kanye's pastor said that he.
Oh, my God.
I actually feel bad for this white man because he did like some interview with some Christian podcast and he's talking about, you know, repping Kanye as his pastor. I guess he says Kanye started going to their church back in mid-May. Placerita Bible Church in Newhall, California. And this is Adam Tyson, who is a senior pastor, who I believe also was preaching at Sunday service in quotation marks, because we have a real Sunday. He was preaching at Sunday service in Detroit. And
he brought that white man to Detroit?
Apparently, I saw a video of him out there. That's what the video said. So.
Okay.
But he says that Kanye even told him that he was considering quitting rap music because it is the devil's music.
Rap
and
is
he
the devil's
said,
music?
Yes. Okay. And the white man said that he told Kanye, hey, man, rap's a genre. You can rap for God, which
my God.
Niggas have literally done for decades.
They have.
So shouldn't have been. I honestly feel like this man is going to really be blindsided when this nigga Kanye takes his next laugh.
That's right.
You know, because this is some bullshit.
The fact that he corrected Kanye on that ignorant shit. Something is really wrong with that nigga.
You know, another thing I found fascinating, because when I like was skimming through this interview, one of the things the guy said was like he kind of broke down the difference between what Kanye is doing with Sunday service and a church. Okay. He told this nigga, like, think of it more as like a concert, a crusade even, because the church, like, he had to break down the levels and structure of a church for like a distinct difference between the two.
Okay.
This nigga Kanye West is nuts. And like,
so you mean to tell me he joined this church with like a nice, reasonable pastor, and the pastor has more sense than Kanye? So where's Kanye getting all this ridiculous?
The pastor has more Kanye is just doing a thing right now. I believe that Kanye is testing the waters. As I said before, Lord. I believe that Kanye also knows that niggas, like by nature, many of us love gospel music, love the sound of a choir. Yeah. Who the fuck doesn't?
Right.
And black choirs at that, a singing ass singing, even some of the worst black choirs are some of the best choirs, period.
Right.
So he's like, all right, these niggas ain't trying to hear me in my Republican tirades and all of my red hat wearing bullshit and why me and Donald Trump be having barbecues together and flaming niggas and women. And so, you know what I'm going to do? Have these motherfuckers out here singing BB mixed with a little bit of Jodeci.
No. See, that's the problem. Because niggas who stand for church have plenty more options for gospel than Kanye West.
Tell that
to the
niggas.
And they don't need that nigga at all.
Living for this. The Doll has an album called Jesus is King.
That's
as if that
I
was
said.
News to us.
The people who
an
are
IMAX
really...
film.
No. Mm-mm. The people who really be in church are not the ones who are propelling Kanye forward with this bullshit. It's the rest of these hype beast ass niggas, the ones who will do anything because Kanye said so and it's his shit or whatever else. They just own Kanye's dick so hard that are making this a thing.
I just had a picture, like an office-esque camera pan.
Oh no.
Of like inside the home. And Kim is like taking care of the kids, and we just pan to Kanye like coming in the house soaking wet because he just tried to walk on the pool of water.
No. What is wrong with
still
you?
Not working. I thought today would be the day.
No, nigga, because you're not the son of God.
You know what? Have at it, sir. I'm not buying it. Every time he like slips up and talks a little too much in one of these things, you start repeating
the
same bullshit. And it's like, so.
Let's not all stand in the same place. I still could slap that nigga for that.
And then the same thing that he was trying to say about the Republican Party freeing slaves or some shit like that. Whatever the fuck he said a couple weeks before that. Like, okay, girl, have at it. Meanwhile, Kim is out here still trying to save niggas like fucking Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side out
she
here.
She have to keep on letting niggas out of jail to offset all the stupid shit Kanye does.
Chris was like, No.
Go find somebody else and get her out.
Get your fucking ass down to East Atlanta. Right, goddamn.
Because they know, like, even those of us who hate the Kardashians to our core can't be mad at black people getting freed from jail who didn't need to be there.
I'm never going to be for you over that, Kimberly.
Right, we can. It's the perfect fucking thing.
Absolutely.
Like, it's perfect. And so she has to keep doing it so that we'll stop talking about the fact that this nigga's selling $200 church socks.
So again, in the vein of Shanaynah, you know what she would say? Excuse me, move. Move, you step to the side. Now you. I mean, you know what? I'm not even going anywhere near this album. And I do still want for there to be a day where we can look at the Kanye that we remember and be like, oh, he's back. He's in there again. You know, but I'm not holding my breath.
Right.
And I'm also not going to be fed like some gospel music when there are a plethora of places that I could get gospel music.
There's just there's so many, and like there are classics. Like Black people been doing really good gospel music for a long fucking time,
and enough of that is already created by people that hate me. Okay. So like, I don't have to.
Really don't have to go to Kanye West for this at all. Don't need it at all.
Why?
No, go away. Sit down. Leave us alone.
Couple of rap women having some good news this week.
Okay.
Carisha dropped Summer Baby, Summer Miami Baby, Baby Summer Miami.
Did she name her baby Summer Miami?
The baby's name is Summer Miami, and she is so happy and blessed, says the mommy Carisha Brownlee.
Okay, Summer Miami Brownlee.
She's just a few days old, I believe. Yes, she was born on Friday, and posted a cute little photo, pink things and frilliness, and whom I'm assuming is the child's daddy laying in his bed next to the thing.
What was his name? That producer? Southside?
I don't know.
I don't know. I could be wrong about the producer part too.
Do we care? You know, like Carisha is the topic. You know, I know who that is. And by proxy, baby, Summer Miami.
Yo, this nigga is curled up, sleep in the bed like he gave birth.
Right?
Oh, look how precious. That's so cute.
I'm like, oh my gosh, how long was his labor?
Lord, look at this shit she done put this baby in. Yes, all the lace.
Summer Miami is a really cute name.
Summer has a custom diaper on. Wow.
Like Summer is already just a nice, regular name.
Yeah.
And you had a great summer.
Summer's a cute name.
So Summer is a nice name. And then Miami, like, okay, you're from Miami, but Miami also sounds like a cute name. And it's great that it is in the middle and not at
the
front.
That's right. Miami Summer sounds kind of like way worse.
Way worse. That sounds like a
summer. This is
right.
I'm actually not mad at the name. I was just a bit confused, but especially because Miami is her stage name. It's really cute that she gave her that as a middle name.
Yeah. Listen, folks, you can be so lenient on a middle name. You know, middle names are there to be experimented with.
That's right. I'm going to do all kind of weird shit.
All kinds of fun stuff.
All kind of weird shit.
Look, one of Amber Rose's baby middle names is Electric.
There you go.
That new, and it's Slash Electric.
I think I said I like that name.
I like it too. Now Electric Slash would have been like, what in the URL?
It would be hard for me not to call him Electric Slide. It would be real hard. Like I would feel compelled. So this is so cute. Oh, good. Good for y'all. This baby is real cute. Well, I mean, I guess through the pink lace and shit, she looks cute. She got that contraption on that baby's head. What is this?
Electric Slide used to make me die laughing as a kid. And still to this day, I feel like I kind of sometimes have a flashback to it making me laugh. Because there are parts of it that are... like when she said, from this music that I just can't hide. That just always took me out.
Okay. Is
that I just can't, like, go back. Listen to Electric Slide. Electric Slide and some of the, I know I'm not alone about this motherfucking thing. I know somebody tomorrow is going to tell me that they also think that Electric Slide is a funny song if you listen to it.
I have never thought that.
Okay.
I was so confused. I was about to see if there was a movie called Electric Slide that I had never seen. I've never thought the song was funny, but maybe so.
Saw a story today, not sure if it's true, that Fendi prints on Nicki Minaj's Fendi capsule collection is sold out already. Again, not sure if it's true, but I do know that my glasses, they're gone. Way.
Damn, they sold out already?
Yeah, you snooze, you lose.
That's true. I was late. You didn't set an alarm.
I forgot. So there you go.
And sunglasses are quick to go in these kind of collections. People want them real bad.
I want them very bad, but not bad enough.
Yeah, not bad enough to set an alarm and get ready.
Well, the Barb's told you, honey, because...
you thought they would be sitting cute on Fendi's website for however long. No, bitch.
Ooh, it's going to be some mamas that get a bill.
I was about to say, the Barb's is telling your ass, look, we're not as broke as you thought.
$500 $200 goddamn dollars.
No, y'all know better. Your mama slapped the shit out you.
Tariq! Get your ass down.
Go find them little glasses because they going right back. You better still have the box. They going right back.
And Tariq,
back.
Let me know when you mail them shits back, honey, because I'm buying them off you. Sorry to you and that man. I read that she also says that she regretted tweeting that shit about retiring because A, she's not really retiring. She didn't say that part, but duh. And then she said that it was like insensitive to her fans. She knew that she had songs that were coming out that she had already recorded that were features, but she really meant that she was retiring as in she wasn't sure she was releasing her next album. And then she went on to tease her next album. So there you go, girls. Seems as though your doll is in great spirits. And you will certainly get the album that you knew you were going to get. Talking about stuff she didn't know it was going to be that big of a deal. And that her fans were going to act like that. What? You're going to say that you stubbed your toe.
Girl, you
knew
that.
Fans would have been like, I have a lighter and I have gasoline. Point me to the couch so I can set it ablaze.
Exactly. Like, don't act like you didn't know the Barbs was going to lose their fucking mind. The thought of not having you no more, sis. Come on. You know how crazy them niggas are because you like to leverage them whenever you need to.
I enjoy the truth.
But you know, look, the Fendi stuff's all right on now. Congratulations to Nicki.
Snoop Dogg was on Howard Stern or something, and he said that he has a professional blunt roller that he was there with Seth Rogen, and I could honestly listen to Seth Rogen laugh for like on an endless loop. But that's besides the point. Seth Rogen and Snoop Dogg, who have smoked together numerous times, were discussing the fact that there is a nigga who will just in there, he'll be rolling blunts, not doing much else, saying much else. And whenever it seems like you are in the mood for one, he's just there in time.
Wow.
With the blunt in front of your face and ready for you. Howard Stern asked Snoop how much you can make with a job like that. Snoop said about $40,000 to $50,000 a year. So
that
got me to thinking, like,
I need a part-time job.
A lot of you niggas and bitches out here rolling blunts for ain't shit niggas for free.
For free.
Okay, you need to be able to live on Sunday with a resume in your back pocket or tucked into your brassiere to pass out to these motherfuckers, because it's like, when you think about how busy people must be and how much time, especially if you really get down to business.
Yeah.
How much time you must spend rolling blunts. You probably really could save yourself some time and some stress by having somebody else do it for you and putting them on payroll. So some of y'all who know that you're good at it, you should probably be out here at free before 12 with your information handy.
Yeah, I'm thinking you might have to start small so that people, you know, find out about you. Like maybe you roll blunts in the club for like a dollar or something. I don't know. Because where are you going to find somebody who smokes enough weed and has it in the budget to pay you like a real salary?
King of, G5, Tootsies. What's the shit? Starlets.
All right. The Magic strip club. City. Okay. Yes. There we go. You correct.
What's the Onyx?
So if you live in Miami, Atlanta, what are other big stripping cities? I don't know. LA?
Houston.
I was going to say Houston, but I don't know about LA.
I don't know LA to be a big stripper city.
Yeah. I don't hear
about that.
I don't think
Honestly, it's probably city or state laws that make it that way. Because Miami, you can just get buck wild, butt booty naked. And every time there's like a big weekend and a lot of out-of-town motherfuckers come to the strip club out there, there's always, I always see at least one person, male or female, that is jaw dropped. They've never seen no shit like this in their life. And I'd be forgetting, oh, you can see pussy at the club here.
Right. Because it's not the same everywhere. I went to a strip club in Oklahoma once. That was a sad experience. Would not repeat it. But yeah, if you live in Miami or Atlanta, though, bitch, you need to quit bullshitting. You need to set up a fucking Instagram. Just start showcasing your talents.
The strip club in Oklahoma probably looked like the back of a source.
The back of a what?
The Source magazine.
Really? It wasn't even a black strip club.
Oof, even worse.
I actually don't know if there is
the
a
back
black
of
strip
Maxim.
Club. It was real bad. It was, yeah, it was depressing. It was a walk in and walk right back out type of situation.
I bet.
Did not need none of that in my life.
I mean, Miami has like a few of those too. Mm. So I won't put anybody on the list.
Okay.
But usually next to barbecue places or something like that.
What were we even talking about?
Actually, that's not even true. There's some great strip clubs next to barbecue. Okay.
Were we talking about strippers?
No, we were talking about Snoop Dogg.
Oh, right.
And his professional blunt roller. And yes. What I'm saying is,
that's right.
Yes. A lot of y'all are rolling blunts and you do. Like, I love rolling blunts. I don't even smoke them anymore. And sometimes I will offer to roll somebody a blunt just because of how much I love it. Think about if I were to take my talents out here into the street with somebody who needs it.
I could really
it's going to be a side hustle.
It really could, though. Like, niggas just got to apply themselves.
This one. Okay. Suge Knight has apparently given the rights to his life and his story over to Ray J.
This is the rights to his life story, right? Not to his life. Because I mean, that just...
The prison already got rights to his life. I mean, like, it was the story of his life.
You ain't shit.
And his likeness or whatever, I guess.
Is
I don't know.
Ray J some known, like, biographer? Why would you do this?
I have no idea what the fuck is going on. Like,
do he owe Ray J some money?
They said that they have a... and again, this is from TMZ, which I told you stands for truth. Maybe zero. But
I really hate you.
They say that Suge and Ray J have been friends for decades, and probably around the time that Lil Kim kidnapped Miles. Cause you know that was Dorian's fault. Yeah.
Oh my god.
That was Dorian's fault, wasn't it? Whatever.
This is the second week that
we talked about. Anyways, so they've apparently been friends, and Suge Knight trusts Ray J. with the rights to his life story. And I'm like, based on what? Scooty bikes? Like,
and whatever them
glasses?
Them Ray Pods were, whatever them headphones are.
Oh.
What are they called? Ray-Bans?
Ray-Bans?
No, that's the glasses. God damn it. Now, I won't rest.
I feel like Ray Pods is probably, I was just going to assume, I thought you were right.
Raycon. Whatever. Not Ray Pod.
Ray Pods is better.
It is. But it's also probably like copyright infringement.
Probably.
So, you know.
You probably just can't even use Pod.
Right. Or even that little lowercase I and then something else. Mm-hmm. Can't do that either.
Well, this means that Ray J would be able to use or to create a Suge Knight film, which is apparently already in development, TV show, books, and more. Not only are they apparently making a Suge Knight Death Row film, but a Tupac one, which I feel like we've already gotten five of those that we didn't need.
I don't know that we need that at all.
Certainly Suge Knight wants to tell his side of the story, which I don't need, but...
Right, that's another thing. Whatever movie, straight to BT...
This will surely be a Mona-produced VH1 special.
I'm thinking VH1 is lofty, because do white people really know who Suge Knight is?
Damn, but do white people watch VH1 that much?
Okay, not the television programming. You're right. I'm just thinking of like...
I mean, I'm sure they watch it loads, niggas, but they're definitely not the targeted demographic.
Not the way we do. Yeah, so whatever comes out is definitely going to be slanted in the direction of Suge Knight. Like, there's going to be a lot of glossing over things or making them look better in hindsight, because this nigga has been awful.
At the end of the day, this nigga is supposed to be locked up for like at least another decade. And he's trying to make money while he's in there for himself, probably for his family or whatever. I also read that there's talks of Death Row coming back with Ray J running it.
Okay.
But it would require additional investors. Princess Peach?
This don't make sense.
Is
now.
Is Princess Love okay with this?
We don't have any proof that Ray J can manage even his own career, much less a whole ass label. So
I mean, he's doing, like, in terms of business successes, he's doing quite
well. That's what I'm saying. Scooty
but
bikes?
Music
yes.
wise.
Raycon? Sure. But. Albums? Charting? No. We don't need Ray J to be in charge of that. Sorry. I just don't. But I mean, I guess Ray J is at least out on the outside, and so he can get something started while they waiting on Suge Knight to maybe get out.
It's just like, of all people,
seems like you don't really get out early for murder, but maybe so. I don't know. Yeah, this is confusing because Ray J, why?
I'm just so lost, but I expect to hear more on that show they be on. Isn't theirs on now?
I don't know. I stopped watching Love and Hip Hop. It's just all bad. It's all bad. And Mona keeps throwing people in my face like I'm supposed to know who they are. And I just don't. And I don't care either. I don't give a shit. You the bitch that used to braid Cardi's coochie hair. So go away. Ugh.
Some fans are upset with Rihanna for posting a video with her lip gloss and stuff in it while a Chris Brown song plays in the background. Mm. She took to her, I'm not sure if it was Instagram or if it was Twitter, but
probably both.
Yeah, maybe both. And she posted a video of her glossy posse lip glosses. And this looks like it's in a pool cute. Or a really rich woman's tub outside.
It's probably whatever fucking jacuzzi mansion she's staying at this week. She probably really did just like, bring me one of all them lip glosses and just sit right on up.
Fetch my gloss, sir.
What?
Okay, so listen. Guys, I'm so tired. Like, I'm just aching. So, she posted Gang Gang, just me and my glossy posse at Fenty Beauty. And in the background is this Chris Brown song, which I'm not even going to front. I don't know it. Haven't heard it. It's apparently a song. It's a collaboration with her. Don't know if it's her song or if it's his. I'm going to guess that it's his. I can't think of the last time I listened to a Chris Brown song because he got these fucking New Testament long ass albums. And I just like,
I don't care.
My ADD won't allow me to do it. Mm-hmm. It just won't. But it sounds very Chris Brown-y, very melodic and R&B-esque. However, for obvious reasons, many people are upset about it and have taken to their own social medias to express their disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I don't have a dog in this fight, you know? Because on one hand, I feel like it is completely plausible and sensible for Rihanna to be in a place where she has moved on from the situation with this nigga, has forgiven this nigga, and likes the song.
Yeah.
Fully has, you know, all of the right to play the song in whichever way she chooses. On the other hand, I feel like it is more than understandable for people, specifically fans of hers, mm-hmm. to be upset by it and to express upset by it, especially since it's being played in a song where she's promoting a product that she's trying to sell to them.
Right.
So I feel like people
that does
are
make sense.
Allowed to be like, ooh, girl, not liking this. But the world is still spinning, right. And I just don't know what to make
I mean,
of.
I saw it on Instagram, and I had to really listen. I was like, is that Chris Brown? I kind of do feel like that is Chris. But then also, like, this is not the first time Rihanna has worked with him since the incident. It's not the first time she's talked about him.
She got back with him.
Been seen. Right. All that. And my issues with Chris Brown go far beyond how Rihanna feels about him.
Yeah.
Like Rihanna is not the only woman who has had to press charges on Chris Brown. Like, she is not the only woman who has had to deal with Chris Brown and his fuckery. And then there's the whole, you know, constantly getting into shit with different people and fighting and just general dumb niggardry. And so it's like there's a whole lot going on with Chris Brown.
Right.
That to where, you know, if Rihanna has his music in the background of her Instagram video, that's not. It's not like the way I feel about Chris is contingent on how Rihanna feels about him.
Right. Like, or how I feel about Rihanna, to be honest with you.
I feel about Rihanna. Right.
Like, I get how I can't really say how everybody feels because there's no actual telling how Rihanna feels. I could give you a very good guess, which is that she don't give a fuck.
I mean, right. Because it was definitely deliberate.
You know, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, she knows what time it is when she posted that, which would lead me to think, hey, girl, just so you know, don't give a fuck about that. I listen to Chris Brown. I just feel like, okay, girl. In the same vein, I feel like everybody is.
I mean,
all
that's
right,
your decision. Maybe you like Chris Brown's music. I genuinely do not anymore. I like his older stuff, but I have not liked a Chris Brown song in I can't tell you how long.
I don't.
So,
no. every Chris Brown song I think I've heard in the past few years, at least. Because I can't tell you the last album I listened to intentionally. Maybe the one that
Royalty.
I think maybe that was
because I was disgusted.
I think that was maybe the one I listened to last. But like his last two or maybe three albums, I just haven't even approached them. Because I'm like, 40 songs, girl. My brain ain't, it's not built for this.
I don't even know when he puts out music until you tell me in this studio.
So every song I've heard has been because it was like on the radio or I heard it out at somewhere or something like
that.
And
I don't listen to the radio or go out. So I literally have no chance to hear
it. I ride in lifts more than you do. And sometimes I don't have my headphones.
I stopped getting on the train, but I always have headphones.
Yeah.
So I just really don't listen to his music or care for it, but
that is fair as well.
I mean, yeah. So like, I do understand, like you said, I do understand why people would be like, this is kind of promoting an abuser and, you know, we don't feel comfortable with that or whatever. I totally get that, but it's hard for me to boycott Chris Brown any more than I already have. So, you know, I'm just like, all right, sisters, you know, y'all take up y'all good fight.
It just seems like this is people upset with her for her choice to not be as angry as they are, I guess.
Well, you know, so the thing about this is when you go through something like domestic abuse and it's so public and you have like that kind of incident, I remember Rihanna saying that she didn't want to be the girl who got beat up.
Who
you
knows?
Know, like she didn't want to be like the face of domestic violence. And I can really understand that. And so it's kind of like, you know, some of you may relate because you also had a similar experience with somebody you were dating. And so you feel, you know, this sort of weird fucked up sisterhood with me, like, which I get. But at the same time, I cannot claim to represent you and how you feel because we're two totally different people. And I don't even know who the fuck you are.
Right.
And so however I'm dealing with my trauma and, you know, however I decide that I'm going to act publicly or privately or whatever else, it can't really be representative of you because she never claimed to be that. So y'all just going to have to let that lady process and live the way she does. And you do the same for yourself.
Some of the girls are upset with Franklin Ocean. Some of them are confused.
Oh, Lord. Color me confused. As soon as I saw it was called PrEP, I was like, what in the fuck is going on?
So I was headed to Atlanta last week to do a screening for Watchmen. And as I was headed out there, a friend of mine sent me a text that was like, oh, Frank Ocean is having this party or whatever. And I saw that it was called PrEP Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at some of the verbiage included in the promotion or whatever of it. And I thought to myself, is Frank Ocean having a sex party? A lot of people did.
Yeah, I can see why. Because like a PrEP Plus party, this sounds like...
Because I'm like, on one end, that sounds sickening. On
it
the
sounds
other
like
end,
there will be meds and condoms everywhere.
It's like, why would he be...
Why is that happening?
It's not even that I wouldn't believe that Frank Ocean would have a sex party. I just wouldn't believe it would be so publicly promoted.
I feel
like,
right.
It feels like it's about Frank Ocean. It feels like you get that through text.
Unless he was like, exactly. If it was that kind of party, there would have never been no press release or nothing. Like, we would have just never known.
But I was intrigued to go because I thought at the very least it would be super gay and a spectacle.
Mm, oh, of course you were invited.
No, I wasn't invited. Like I said, somebody had just told me about it because it was literally on Instagram.
Okay. All right.
I didn't even know this nigga had an Instagram page until 2 days ago or whenever they told me, Thursday. So, yes, PrEP Plus is the party, and it was, like, described as this party that's supposed to represent what it would have been like in the 80s or, like, the height of the AIDS crisis in the gay community if they had PrEP back then.
What? Right? That's what it was about?
That's how it was described. Like, what would it have been like back then if PrEP were available to the cult, to the community?
A lot more people alive. Isn't that basically where that life? Where that goes?
Again, so do you see why people... So is there fucking at the party or not? That's what it said. Like, what are you talking about?
What are you saying?
What's going on?
Okay.
So, nigga, by the time I landed in Georgia, I'm like, Frank is absolutely... like having a party. This is probably in promotion of something that he's getting ready to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Party happens a day later... He's got some new song out called DHL, which I haven't even listened to, but he's got like a radio channel or whatever on Beats now. Like Blonded Radio.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be an ongoing. Oh, okay. Well,
it came out when Blonde came out.
Okay. So for clarity, I haven't really been involved in anything Frank Ocean related in years. Like, I haven't listened to Blonde. I didn't listen to this new song, and I didn't listen to Blonde when it came out because there was such a long lead up to it that was full of hype and all of this dramatic shit. So when it dropped, I was like, I can't listen to this right now, because if it's not good, I'm gonna be so disappointed. If I don't like it, it doesn't even have to not be good. If it's too different, or if it's not, you know, whatever, if I'm not ready for it, like, I'm gonna let this cool down and listen to it when it's whatever. I just never did. And so I don't even feel like listening to this before I listen to that. I'm just like,
yeah, I didn't care for Blonde. There's a couple songs I still play, like Pink and White, I still really love. But
is Chanel on that album?
The C on Both Sides, like Chanel song.
That's the only one I listen to.
So I'll go back to it, because I've done that before. I revisited albums and been like, oh, this was way better than I thought.
Right.
So maybe now that we're so far removed from the hype and all that, I'll feel differently about it. But at first, it just was not for me. So.
So Frank apparently did an interview where he said something about how he's like really into house music.
Help us, Lord. Come through, precious Jesus.
He told W Magazine, I've been interested in club and the many different iterations of nightlife for music and songs. And so the things I look at now have a lot to do with those scenes, Detroit, Chicago, techno, house, French, electronic, and so on. So this told me that Frank Ocean is trying to make music for sick, like circuit parties.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not interested.
Okay. Right. Okay.
But a lot of the criticisms from the party itself, from those who went, was that it was overwhelmingly white, which to that I say, duh. Like, nigga, what the... this is Frank Ocean we're talking about, okay? Have you been to, like, a Rolling Loud, nigga? Meek Mill got white people coming out by the truckload.
That's
so
true,
I don't know what you thought a Frank Ocean gay house party thing was going to be.
But who was it? Was there an invite list, or could people buy tickets?
No, I think this was, like, an invite thing.
See, so then that's something else, like...
But
I see
still,
what you're saying, but why would there be overwhelmingly white people invited?
It's Frank Ocean.
But I mean, when I hear Frank Ocean, I don't think Todrick Hall. Like, it don't seem like it would be.
When I hear Kendrick Lamar, I don't think Todrick Hall.
Right, but like.
But yeah, still, when I go to the Damn Tour, I'm surrounded by Tad and Molly. The girls come out. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. What I'm saying is, I would not be shocked that a Frank Ocean prep party was overwhelmingly white, when most rap concerts I go to now are overwhelmingly white.
Okay. I mean, and I see that point. It just seems to me like, because you couldn't buy tickets to this, that means that, you know, the publicists or whoever put together an invite.
But then you would
list.
Think that Frank Ocean is just surrounded by niggas, which I don't believe.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I don't know too much about it. He announced the whole bisexual or gay or whatever, his queer identity, and then I basically didn't hear nothing from him. He was dating that white boy for a while, and I just haven't seen him then. So, oh damn. Okay, you know what? I said it out loud, and then I realized...
Like, I'm lost. I don't understand why anybody's confused about it.
You're right. Now I get, like, I literally had to say it out loud to be like, bitch, duh. Like... I don't know why, I just never really thought about it, but yeah, okay, you're right, never mind.
I still love Frank as an artist. I think that Frank is sexy, and if you want to have your fucking parties, then you can go for it, honey. You know what I mean? I understand that that's part of the culture as well. It's just part I'm not interested in.
Yeah.
No, like, even though it's like...
No, this is just...
The super gay electronic parties are... You have to be in a mood for that.
Okay.
For me, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, the music at a party to me is like at least 70% of,
absolutely,
you know, what
absolutely
makes the party. And I'm not interested in, like, there's, and here's the thing. There's like Chicago, like traditional Chicago house that was like created by the community and completely lifted up by Black people.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing can be said for Detroit and like a couple of actual Black and specifically Black Latino gay communities. And that is so different than what you hear in white gay clubs now.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And so I can tolerate like some old school Midwest house. You know what I mean? But this shit today with these fucking Swedish DJs mixing some shit around with cocaine in their... I don't need it.
I hate it.
At that point, I just want to see pecs and give me a drink and I'm just existing to look at some sexiness. But...
Yeah, I can't abide white gay clubs. At least in black ones, the music is good. But white gay clubs, I just can't go.
Don't give all of them.
The parties y'all take me to.
Okay.
I don't just be wandering in on my lonesome. Yeah, so.
Really. You never know. But, and some white spaces, you know, I've been to some clubs before that are predominantly white, or at least that's what like brings it in. And then sometimes you have a DJ that comes in and is allowed and doesn't give a fuck to play some dope shit. And the thing is, like, white gays that come out, I've noticed, and this is maybe just my observation, most of the time don't give a fuck about what they're listening to. Mm. It's like the prejudiced ones are like, yeah, I don't want to hear that. They don't give a fuck. They can't dance, no way. Up, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's why all of that stuff is great anyway, because you don't really need rhythm. All you have to do is sort of just sway side to side.
That is true.
But you really could play whatever, because it feels like to me they're more there to flirt, make connections, and or just have a good time with their friends. And so it doesn't really matter what they're listening to. So you could still fucking play Nicki or Cardi or for whoever the Earth Gang nigga. I don't know. Like, you could, because they're still like,
that's so true. Yes.
As long as they're making eye contact with the person that they just messaged on Grindr, they are Gucci. So I don't even understand why we have so much of this issue. But again, there's a time and place for that, and there are some people who specifically like those beats that we hate. It's not that there's no place for that at all. Some people really do like that kind of shit. And it seems to me that that is what Frank Ocean is headed towards. There were, like, besides this new song that he put on his playlist or whatever on Apple, there are two songs that he, I guess, teased at the party that are already remixed. Like, he played like the club remix to songs that it seems we haven't heard yet.
Okay.
Whatever. So go for it, hon.
All right.
Another criticism the party got was that it was not only overwhelmingly white, it wasn't very queer. There are loads of straight people, straight DJs. According, I wasn't there. I'm just reading someone out, Mikkel. I don't know if your name is Michael Street or Mikkel Street, but.
Okay, white is one thing, this but person, straight.
Right, because I told you, I thought at least it would be super gay.
Yes.
And I thought I would see maybe, you know, like, niggas with lime green dreads and, like, 7 foot tall Swedish bitches roller skating around. I thought it would be, like, weird and super gay and, like, thumping music.
Like, I was thinking Drag Race-y.
This just sounds like a pop-up. With Frank Ocean's friends.
So what, was it just a bunch of media outlets invited?
It sounds like it was just a whole bunch of niggas there for a Frank Ocean party, which is like, you know, like, again, there were more complicated criticisms. Like, a lot of people were kind of offended by the whole premise of the party. And, like, some people sort of accused him of, like, erasing the HIV positive people and the people who allied around them during the 80s and so on, that were so, because obviously, like, the epidemic and a lot of the people dealing with it were a huge part of the movement in the first place.
Right.
So a lot of people were kind of offended by the whole idea of it. And there were other, like, more weighted criticisms. To me, it just seemed like it was an underwhelming party that probably should have just been named something else.
Well, there you go. There is that.
There you go. There was prep merch.
Okay. See, no.
apparently, there was no sponsorship. There was no educational tie-in to prep or how it works.
So you really not only could have called it something else, but should have called it something
else. It sounds that way, yeah.
You would have escaped all this criticism if you didn't tie in the HIV/AIDS epidemic in the 80s and this life-saving medication. You could have just had a party. You could have called it Channel Rainbow and just invited all the white straight people you wanted. I'm just saying, like, you could have literally done anything else.
Or Channel Gray.
Anything else? What is this? Okay.
Should have been a sex party, Frank.
I mean, I say all this, and yet Channel Orange to me is an incredibly perfect album, and I stand it to this day.
I love Frank Ocean. Yeah. If this is about to be what it sounds like it is to me, I don't want to listen to it, but I do still. I don't. Like, all of that, you know what I'm saying? fucking this German DJ remix version of some shit. Like, and that, sometimes I bump into a couple of those and they do sound good. But for the most part, I don't need it. So if that's where he's going and it sounds like it is, I'm not interested. But Frank Ocean as an artiste, I still enjoy. And Channel Orange is great, as well as Nostalgia Ultra.
Nostalgia Ultra is really good too. But I feel like Channel Orange is just perfect.
And like, maybe one day I'll listen to Blonde and be like, oh, okay, I'll kind of see.
It's like a seat at the table for me.
It's really, really good. It's like,
this is just so fucking solid.
And it came at a great time.
It did. It came in, oh God, in my life, so much shit was happening when that album came out. Like, as soon as I hear it, it takes me back to that job I had at Black Enterprise and being too broke to even afford to dress according to the dress code and just being incredibly stressed out every single day. Anyway, yeah,
now
takes
here.
Me back, and yeah, and now we're here. I'm gonna try Blonde again, though. See if I feel any different.
Yeah, we'll dust that thing off and go ahead and listen to it. See how I feel about that.
Mm. Oh, and I do want to say, are we about to wrap up the hot topics?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was about to say before we go, I wanted to say congratulations to Amber Riley because she just wrapped the Little Shop of Horrors that they were doing at the Pasadena Playhouse. I went and saw it when I was in LA last weekend and it was so good. Of course, Amber sings her fucking ass off. Mm-hmm. And I had texted her, I was like, are you performing anywhere this weekend? Because I'll be there. And she was like, oh, you know, I'm in this musical. And I guess she thought I was bullshitting and wasn't really gonna come. Bitch, I turned around and bought the ticket like the very next minute, because if Amber Riley is singing, I want to be in the building.
Yeah.
And it was just really good, really well done, very cute. I liked it a lot, which is new for me because I usually do not like Little Shop of Horrors. I saw it when I was young.
I love Little
and
Shop
it
of
horrified me like it was supposed to.
Right.
So have always been afraid of it, but this one was really cute. And MJ Rodriguez played Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
She was so good in it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just really adorable, really well done. I liked it a lot. And I just wanted to say congrats to Amber because she killed that shit.
So I couldn't
and now she's finna be working on Little Mermaid. Just, you know, I see you, friend.
Stay booked and busy.
That's right, girl.
All right, well, that is it for the Hot Tops this week. We're gonna take a break and then we're gonna be right back.
When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? We've told you. It's your girl, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, honey. And right now you can try it for free, girl, at ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I've actually used ZipRecruiter for my own personal things on the back end. And it really does work pretty quickly. And I also appreciate that it's easy to use because, you know, this aging brain of mine in technology, we're parting ways, which makes me sad, but that's a different conversation. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now let's get back to show. So listen, guys, the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. I've been running my mouth about it for a while now. Black representation in media is incredibly important, and I feel like it's in kind of a precarious situation at the moment. So amplifying and enjoying as many of these stories as possible is pretty important. Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. You can get things from Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations. There's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives have always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center on Black voices. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
We are back, and it is now time for the listener letters.
Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. We may just read them aloud on air. You remember a few weeks ago, we had a letter from Rachel, who is a bisexual girl. Her stud girlfriend broke up with her And she was like not into the bisexual thing. And she said, you know, she stayed even though she had all these reasons not to, like trust issues and being broke and all these other things happening. So anyway, Rachel emailed us back and she said, a few weeks and a few therapy sessions later, here I am. 3 days after our initial breakup with her tearing me down about my bisexuality and how no one would want a confused person, my mom decided to share her sentiments on the situation. She blamed me, also citing confusion in Bible verses, as the reason for my breakup.
Wow.
This definitely did not help with the fact that I was feeling like shit. I am currently living with my mom for the next month until my remodeled apartment is ready. Ooh, girl. These events coupled with me coming off birth control and other personal stuff have really taken a toll on me mentally. I ended up spiraling into a state of depression and I still have moments where I stumble. Even in the midst of all this, I expressed to the stud sis that if she could just give me a little room to sort myself out, we could move forward working together on our relationship, which was foolish. Apparently, I wasn't moving fast enough for her. Either, maybe if she had started going to therapy like I requested, instead of doing everything the fuck else, she could focus on that instead of how long it was taking me to, quote, get over my pride and forgive her. She ended up calling it quits when she got mad over the conversation around her spending Thanksgiving with me, even though it was still a month and a half away. I was willing to work it out with her, but me at my lowest was too much for her to handle. It's crazy how you can treat someone the way you would like to be treated, but the moment you treat them how they've been treating you, it's a problem.
Well,
I'm continuing therapy to work through my issues. It's work, but necessary to balance things going on in my life. I'm thankful I have a strong support system like my sister and best friend to keep me level. Thank you for taking the time to read my letter. Love, Rachel. Well, Rachel, you're welcome. I hope you keep going in the therapy because it's going to help you unpack not only that relationship, but what happened in your life that led you to accepting that and staying in it even when you knew you needed to leave.
It's really unfortunate that you have to like deal with the back and forth. And I super feel for bisexual people in that regard because I feel like it is very common what is referred to as bi erasure, I believe.
Definitely is.
Of this, like, many of us are kind of accustomed to, or we expect for older generations, specifically family members and close friends or whatever, even to reject our queerness in whatever sense. But then for queer people within the community to also, like, lob you back at them and basically be like, oh, well, you're confused, bitch, and you da-da-da-da-da. First, like, that is crazy ridiculous.
And then ain't nobody gonna want you? Like, wait a fucking minute.
Actually, plenty of people will.
Just because you have an issue with me being bisexual does not mean everybody else feels that same way.
All that the stud was going through was insecurity of her own. To not be able to satisfy you fully.
And putting that on you.
And projecting that on you as a negative thing that you're going through rather than just acknowledging that you're on a different, you're just in a different seat in terms of this whole LGBT thing. LGBTQIAB, everything.
Okay, I don't even know what the rest of it is.
It's so long now.
That's why I just say queer.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, you're not doing anything wrong. The stress is completely understandable, the annoyance and all that stuff. But yeah, therapy and, I don't know, listening to pro-woman monologues.
That will help.
Personally, I like Trina's first album.
A classic.
So you can start there. That's right. Whatever you want to do. Quick reminder, City Girls with Trina.
Okay. All right. So
somebody City Girls training today. There would be no City Girls without training.
That's so true.
I mean, they know it.
Yeah, you know, everybody. You just went to
say it out loud again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. So somebody else has a question here for you about the UFC 229 Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Good enough.
Okay.
I didn't even try.
Nurmagomedov. I hope I said that right. Conor McGregor fight. Did you see it?
So I never actually saw it when it happened. I wasn't a UFC fan at the time.
Okay.
But I have seen why it is infamous. So if you would like to know if I have witnessed why you're asking, yes.
Yeah, this person says it's one of my all-time favorite moments in white-on-white crime.
It is, isn't it?
So now I feel like I have to see it.
So it's like they had a fight.
Yeah, I was going to say, they want to know your thoughts. They went on all into their thoughts, but they want to know yours.
They're two very infamous fighter. I think Khabib is Russian. And Conor McGregor is, I want to say, Irish?
Oh, I didn't know he was white. Damn.
You didn't know Conor McGregor was white?
I didn't know Khabib Nurmagomedov was white.
Oh, yeah. He does look like one of them, like, spicier white folk.
I was just going off the name. I thought he was some shade of brown. That's why I was trying to get his name right.
That's fair, too, I guess.
My bad.
But that last name is super not. So I don't know how to say it.
Oh, you're right.
Anyway, Conor McGregor is like a huge dick, like a huge, like a terrible person.
Okay.
And I guess there was like a ton of hype and media presence around this fight. Cause you know, that's another thing I really like about boxing and MMA or UFC or whatever is that you kind of, since it's like a one-on-one thing, it's like rather than having a favorite team, you're really like throwing a ton of fandom behind one person. Mm. And so when they're going to fight another person, there is this hype around it, but then they also kick shit at each other and that's part of it. And it's just super dramatic and extra and fun. But Conor McGregor being a like, and then think about people like Floyd Mayweather and like a lot of other boxers. It's like that whole, I feel like I find it to be similar a lot of fighters in that cadence of like, I'm the prettiest motherfucker in this room.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I'll whoop any one of y'all. It's very that in places.
Okay.
Which is also very entertaining. But yeah, Conor McGregor is a huge asshole. I believe he lost the fight, and then Khabib, like at the end, hopped out, like out of the gate, or he hopped out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And a brawl broke out, I guess, between him and members of McGregor's team, and niggas was getting jumped,
who won?
And it just looked so great. So much fun to watch. Probably not for people involved.
Do you know who won, or?
Khabib won.
Oh, okay. So that's why everybody is so happy about it.
I think.
Hmm.
Or did he? I'm pretty sure he beat
I don't know.
Conor McGregor's ass in that fight.
Okay, well, yeah, this was some whiteness that I did not understand, but
who won?
I'm glad. Okay.
Yeah, McGregor lost.
Okay, good.
And then my nigga was like, and while we're at it, I got some shit I've been feeling about that bitch over there as well. And then all hell broke loose. In fact, I after watching that clip, looked up like UFC post brawls. There are a lot of good ones.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It gets spicy.
I really don't like, you know, fighting, so.
I love it.
But
you do. Especially because it has, you know, bounds, rules, and
are there
do's
rules?
And don'ts. Yeah, there's stuff you can't
fully
do.
Fully bloody, though.
I mean, well, yeah, people get bloody in boxing, too. Oh, they got way more rules.
Neither. I don't look at that, neither.
It's just honest. You know, it's getting right to it. There's no bullshitting. No. It's my fists and your fists, my knees and elbows and feet and yours.
I hate it.
Only one of us is coming out of here.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Plus, the UFC game is fantastic. EA is a terrible company, but the game is great.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm pretending to know what these words mean. All mm-hmm. right. Next letter comes from Patricia, who says,
hey, Pat.
My husband and I have
fallen. Everybody got an Aunt Pat. You got an Aunt Pat?
Everybody. I think a great aunt. Either a great aunt or a fake aunt.
That counts.
I got, oh Lord, the fake aunts make up a lot of the.
The fake aunts are honestly the best aunt.
They are, because they're the realest.
Yeah. When you think about it, your play aunt is always way better than your real aunt.
Woo, man. Okay, I'm actually not even going to get into all that. But
whatever.
Yes. So Pat says, my husband and I have fallen on tough times financially, and we got into it a few weeks ago about him spending unnecessary amounts of money. Recently, I found out he spent even more money to get his iPad fixed, an iPad he has not used in 5 whole years. I brought it up to him and he just kind of brushed it off like it wasn't a big deal. And he justified it by saying there are pictures of his dead mama on the iPad.
Oh,
so I let it go.
You can just.
Yesterday, we were traveling home from a family vacation and my phone died. I asked to borrow his so I could text my mother and tell her that we made home safe. However, in his text threads, I noticed an attachment message from his own phone number.
Oh.
I clicked it because duh, and lo and be fucking hold, there are videos from the aforementioned iPad. And guess what they were? His mama? No. That would be too much. Like, right? You guessed it. There were three videos of his ex-girlfriend sucking his dick and taking back shots.
The scandal.
Now, I know myself and how I like to, I just find it funny how a nigga to death, so I kept it cute and decided to go another route. My question is, should I bring it up in a conversation so he can feed me some lie about how he wanted to show his homeboys? Should I take his phone while he's asleep and play it on our Bluetooth speaker to wake him up? Should I send myself the videos?
My suggestion was actually going to be similar to that.
Or should I sneak and delete the videos to hurt his dumb ass feelings? That way, when he goes to enjoy them later, they will have been obliterated and he will have to cry himself to sleep instead. Please help, Patricia.
I was actually going to suggest, like, if you have like an Apple TV, if you have one of those TVs that like you can mirror the screen or something, absolutely get access to those videos. And whenever the game is on or when it's something that y'all maybe watch together,
yeah.
Oh, come on, bet, let's watch da 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 da. And then you just hit play.
Yep. And be like, so glad we spent $800 to fix the iPad so you could get them videos of your dead mama.
So here's the thing.
That's why I'm pissed. How dare you?
This is why you should be leaving this nigga.
No, don't leave him.
Let's file for a divorce because...
No, it's not that bad. But it isn't. It is stank.
It's really bad. Because, you know, first of all, you're saving sex tapes with you and your ex. Right. So that's bad enough.
And we're struggling right now.
Right. And we're struggling right now. But then you spent money to fix the iPad so that you could keep the porn.
Mm-hmm.
You lied to me about it. And your dumbass didn't need to spend no money on the first place if you wanted these flicks. Nigga, you can email them to yourself, airdrop them if it's... Because I don't know if iPads had airdrop in five years ago or whatever. I mean, but can you just update them?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it just wouldn't turn on at all.
You could have spent, I don't know, $15, $20 on one of those little adapters, mm-hmm. hooked it up to your computer. There are so many ways you could have gotten those videos off of that iPad without spending $800 on it. So, like, I'm pissed because A, you lied. B, you lied so that you could keep sex tapes with your ex in it. Mm-hmm. And C, you didn't have to spend this money that we need anyway. I should punch you in your throat.
I just can't believe you lied on your dead mama. What else have you put on your dead mama? Man. That is so fucking
wrong. I didn't even get around to Big Mama.
That is so fucking wrong. Little niggas ain't shit.
Wow.
Yeah, you gotta show him out of nowhere that you know exactly what the fuck he did. So yeah, airdrop them videos to yourself. And then ooh, I don't know. You don't want to do it in a public place because you don't want everybody else to know that your man is just fucking stupid.
I love being like the level of petty that I am. And I'm not like that far into pettiness because, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, I could just walk in with it. When that nigga, like, if you cook for him.
I just thought of something terrible. Yes. What is it? When you cook for him,
when
what?
You cook for him.
Okay.
And he's waiting on his plate.
Okay.
You just bring him that plate.
No.
With a blown up photo.
I knew you was going to say a still. I knew.
A little bit of parsley on the side of it. Just sprinkle a little Lowry's over the picture.
Woo!
Put it on the plate with some parsley and just be like, eat up.
Oh, man.
Try a little something different tonight. I hope you like it.
I would wait till we were in the car or something together and just be scrolling on my phone like I'm looking at Instagram. And then I would say, oh, babe, look. Your sister posted this video of your mama. Maybe it's one of the ones you got off of your iPad. And he'd be like, oh, or whatever. He'll be like, you know, look at this That's video really your sister posted. And then you play it and it is him nutting all over some bitch's back. Isn't that crazy? You must have sent him to her after you got it off the iPad. Remember? The iPad that you said you had to spend all that money to fix because it had videos of your dead mama on it.
Speaking, like, if you just gave me another good... It's actually great to be like, so I was thinking, you know, like, I thought maybe we could get, like, we could do like a scrapbook or something for your mama or something like that.
Yes.
And so I went to the iPad and I got some of those pictures. I found some really good ones.
Yes.
But like, don't say nothing yet.
Yeah.
Like, I found some really good ones in the
Just
iPad.
Just look at his face.
And so I'm working on it. I'm working on it and I'm going to show it to you when it's ready, okay? I think you're going to like it.
And really, I think I should just
leave him for like a week.
I'm going to.
And keep reminding him. It's coming along great, babe. Like,
tell him you're going to make enough copies of this digital presentation for the whole family to have one.
Oh,
my God.
And that you'll give it to everybody at Thanksgiving. And you're so glad you got the chance to get all that media off the iPad because it really is going to complete the project. And if he has any sense, he'll be like, all right, so clearly you know. And so I'm in trouble. So let's just have it.
He's not going to do that.
No, his dumbass is gonna try to go back to the iPad and delete him like you ain't already seen him.
He's gonna slowly back out of the room and run and be like, I do got some pictures of my mama here. I'm sure I got some pictures of my mama. Make that nigga sweat it out.
Make him sweat, girl. I know I would.
You gotta drag that nigga for this. This is way too
foul. You find me something nice at the end of this.
That's super foul.
Oh wait, he can't because y'all having fucking money troubles and the nigga just spending $800
so that he can watch his fucking ex-girlfriend's pussy getting fucked
for some nudes
on this 5-year-old iPad.
These nudes are at least 3 years old. Why? Niggas. Oh, that's another thing. When you get the video, go into the info and look at the date it was recorded. Make sure that shit happened before y'all got together.
You can't do that.
But niggas don't think about that.
The date's right there.
It is. Mm-hmm. If you just look for it, it's like literally right there.
It sure is.
Good luck to you, girl. I would be so mad. Like, really, your mama, nigga?
I would literally be throwing things.
Because you knew that if you brought up your dead mama, I was automatically gonna let it go. You knew that. Why are men?
Don't let you have some siblings, because I'm telling them. Let me tell you what Rufus put on y'all's mama.
His name is Rufus. You're right.
Is it?
No. What? Of course not. Are you kidding? Nobody's name. Okay, never mind. A lot of niggas is named Rufus.
That's true.
But no.
I mean, her name Pat.
Well, you know, I changed that one as well. So, okay. Yes, that's right. All right. Should we do another one? Or is it? I mean, enough?
My read is like 4 sentences long. So, if you want to go and fluff it out.
All right. So, this last one comes from Latasha, who says, I just got my computer to pull back up. So I'll do it off of there instead of my phone.
Okay.
I'm recently married and in my late 20s. I've been with my husband since I was 21. I love him very much and we are generally happy.
What did he do?
We have some issues where we don't see eye to eye, but we've been able to compromise and we work very well as a team. My problem is that I have recently developed a crush on one of my close girlfriends. This is my first serious girl crush. I've always been attracted to women, but I've never dated one. I've kissed a couple of women before and have fingered a girl when we were both drunk, but I never thought of myself as anything other than straight. My eyes skipped right over that sentence when I first read this.
For good reason.
But I have never thought of myself as anything other than straight.
I don't know why.
This is mostly due to my traditional religious upbringing that forced me to repress these feelings. I have just now come to terms with the fact that I am definitely into both men and women. My husband is aware of my attraction to women, although we've never put a label on it. We have always explicitly believed in monogamy, and I'm even opposed to threesomes because I would be worried thanks to all the horror stories I've heard from other people. I'm beginning to feel like because of my crush on my friend, I'm missing out on being with or having a full sexual experience with another woman. I also feel like my attraction to my friend is disrespectful to my marriage. Should I distance myself from the friend and focus on my marriage, or should I take a break from my husband to explore?
Bitch.
Help, Latasha. It'll never cease to amaze me that married people write into our chronically single asses about their problems. That will just, I'll never get it, but.
I'm not going to tell you to take a break from your husband to go and explore without your husband's consent, which I wouldn't understand.
Right. You definitely are going to have to talk to him about the fact that you feel like you're missing out on this experience that you never had. Like, I think you have to be honest with him about it.
Maybe he is down to have a threesome. Many men are. And then you can, if that's something that you want to do. If not, then I would definitely say you need to consider distancing yourself from your friend if you actually treasure your marriage and believe that you would do something to jeopardize it with this friend or anybody the fuck else. However, if you got a crush, that's going to be a crush that's just like every time you're around this Every time, because I was going to say pussy next. Every time that you're around this person, your pussy get a little moist. Then, you know what I mean? That's okay. Lots of people have friends that they have crushes on and it just stays a crush. But if you think something could happen, then you got to be mindful of that and honest about that moving forward. I don't think there would even be anything wrong with going to your husband and being like, so I have a crush on this girl and I don't know what to do and I feel bad about it.
Talk to him about it. Just see where the conversation goes.
It's not like you would be introducing him to your bi-ness or whatever for the first time because you said he already knows that. So
right. And I mean, if you can't talk to the person you're married to about, you know, the fact that you are attracted to somebody else and it's like causing you some concern, then who can you talk to about it? Like, it seems like y'all don't have a very good marriage if you can't come to him about shit that you're going through.
I mean, if this was a man that you had a crush on, I'd probably tell you to just, you know, keep that shit to yourself.
Okay, yes. I think I feel differently about it because it is with another woman and you feel like you have never really allowed yourself to get into women.
There's more depth to it besides just being attracted
okay,
to the
person. Yeah, okay, that's true. That's true.
So I think that you could talk to your spouse, your husband, about the situation and be honest with them. If, again, to me, that's only if you really want to continue being friends with this person, but you feel like something could happen. That's me. That's my personal opinion. If you're afraid about defending this bitch because y'all get drunk too or something like that, then maybe, you know what I'm saying, skip the next brunch, next Sunday fun day or whatever, and do some self-evaluation.
I mean, and tell her why too. Don't just ghost her and have her wonder why you're not friends with her no more.
Yeah.
Tell her, like, unfortunately, I think you're so fine that I would like to cheat on my husband with you, so I have to, like, chill. She should understand that.
I might be a little too...
I mean, listen, that's direct and to the point. That gets it done and you don't have to pussyfoot her.
You said it.
I just think, Latasha, that you are going to continue to come up against this. Like, even if you get over this crush with this one woman, there will be another one.
Yep.
Because you are...
That's true.
Because you are wondering about, like, you've always had this attraction to women and you really want to fulfill it. So I think you're going to have to talk to your husband about the logistics of that. And see if he's, you know, open to letting you figure something like that out. And maybe y'all will have to get comfortable with the idea of threesomes, because I can't imagine me allowing my spouse to sleep with somebody else if I'm not a part of it as well. I really can't. I don't think I'll ever be like one for polyamory. Mm-mm. I really don't think so.
Different strokes for different folks.
That's right. But best of luck to you, because this is a hard situation to be in. I just think you're going to keep coming up against it until you... get into it. Like, I mean, you fingered a girl and you still only ever considered yourself straight. That's going a bit far. Kiss, fine. A lot of you hoes have kissed other women, but fingering, you know, things progress to get to the point of fingering. So best of luck to you as you figure things out, and hopefully you and your husband can come up with something that works for the both of y'all. All right, that wraps up the questions this week. Send yours to asktherita@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. Opening up to a therapist might feel uncomfortable, cathartic, exhausting, or exhilarating. Personally, I find it to be all of these things depending on the time and dime. But if you keep talking or texting with a licensed therapist, you'll gain insights and uncover truths that you can find only in therapy. Personally, I'm in therapy constantly. It's one of the most important things in my life right now, to be honest with you. And it is just, it makes a difference knowing that you have someone somewhere that is judgment-free, that is unbiased, that can hear you out. And it being Mental Health Awareness Month is the time, if it's been on your mind, to give it a try. Celebrate May, Mental Health Awareness Month, and the power of talking out in therapy. Talkspace is offering every listener of The Read $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80. When you go to Talkspace.com/read to match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/read to get $80 off your first month with the code SPACE80. And to show your support for the show, that's Talkspace.com/READ, code SPACE80. Go get some help, talk some stuff out. Let's get back to the show.
All right, so it's time for the read.
It is.
So I really don't have one at all. As I said, I'm exhausted. So on that note, I was not prepared mentally or emotionally to deal with WeWork's bullshit today.
Oh my God. I don't know what the fuck was going on today.
Elevators fucking give me anxiety as it is. I'm impatient. I really don't like any situation that involves waiting. But out of the three, I just already think that their elevator system is stupid. Because rather than getting onto the fucking car and pressing the button for the floor you're going to and then going, you have to find a keypad and then hit the floor you're going to. And then it tells you what fucking elevator to get on, even though there was only one goddamn elevator working out of the three. So guess which one I'm getting on, WeWork? That one, bitch. Ooh. And so when I get there, there is like a crowd of no less than 15 people standing there, including a pregnant woman. So I'm like, all right, clearly I'm not getting on this motherfucker. But
yeah,
I wasn't sure at first if this motherfucker was just busy at the time or what was going on. But everybody gets on and I'm literally like the one person that wouldn't fit. You know, like I was right. Like, it just cut off right in front of me. I'm like, okay, cool. So I sit there for an additional 20 minutes, possibly longer, waiting for this fucking elevator to come back down. And it wasn't until like another minute or so after that first one left that I was like, oh, this is why all you niggas was standing down here. Because that is the only fucking elevator that's working. So I had to stand down in that motherfucking lobby for an extra damn near half hour waiting for the fucking elevator to come back down. Not to mention, then other people are coming and standing by the elevator within this time frame. Some of them niggas had only been standing there for like 5 minutes. Now, another thing that gives me anxiety in waiting situations is when I'm surrounded by other people who are visibly and audibly agitated by waiting. Like, we're all like, sweetie, do you have to go somewhere? I'm so shocked because guess what? Me too.
We all hate this girl.
Like, none of us are having a good time, sis. None of us. So when you are out here, oh my godding and all that stuff, you're just making me more frustrated because now I have to wait and listen to your motherfucking ass who's only been standing here 5 minutes to my 20. So suck it up.
Woo!
So that's really all that I had to say today. WeWork, it is called WeWork, not We Stand, not We Hang Around.
I don't know what the fuck was happening today, but y'all had the whole damn building reduced to one elevator.
Aren't they broke? Aren't they like bankrupt or something?
How? I mean, I think, yes, but one of the PAs told me that I think some Japanese company is buying them out. So they're going to be magically saved.
They better put that money to good use and start with fucking real elevators that actually work. And then I went to the white man that was sitting up at the front and I was like, sir, where's the staircase? There isn't one on this side.
Huh?
That's not a fire hazard? That sounds like a bad idea.
Right, because if a fire breaks out on this bitch, exactly what are we supposed to do? Run over to some other side of the building? What if the fire's over there? Shouldn't there be... It would have honestly taken you way less time to just climb the stairs to our office than to fuck around.
To just scale the side of the building and crawl through an open window. Mm-hmm. So that's really it.
Well, I'm sorry, friend. I was also stuck downstairs for a long time, but that's because the person who was coming down to get me also could not get downstairs because the whole fucking building was using one elevator. So
I was like, I just knew that I was coming to have an actual positive outlook. I thought I was going to walk into the office for once and just be like, oh, I feel fine today.
Yeah.
But the devil had other plans, as he always does. So fuck that. That's
okay. Well, I'm going to pass my read this week.
Pass the read like we used to.
And I wanted to read this one because we're getting into the fall now. It's officially cool in New York City, which is breaking my heart because
I just don't even want to take it.
Winter fucking cometh. And this is just a great little reminder. So Danielle says, I wanted to share a read or maybe a PSA or a little bit of both. I'm not trying to be shady because I didn't grow up around babies or little kids, but I'm learning and hopefully I can help somebody else with this too. But people, please Ask before you start kissing up on babies and toddlers.
Excuse me?
Ask the parents or caregivers before you start kissing babies on their hands, faces, feet, whatever.
Y'all just walk up to people's babies and kiss
them? They do. People...
And I will literally fight you.
So I'm going to take a little break here, Danielle. Not only do people... like walk up to random babies and just decide to get all up in their face and kiss on them and stuff. People who know that they have been ill or haven't washed their hands will gladly manhandle your child, knowing full well that their little immune systems can't take it. So anyway, Danielle says babies have, there we go, very pure and developing immune systems and can't handle the germs that an adult body can. I recently had a son and I am appalled at how many people feel like it is okay to start kissing up on my baby. Yes, I know he is delicious and cute, but you need to ask before you get that close in anybody else's face. Especially babies, but this also goes for toddlers. And I really feel like toddlers don't get enough credit. They can understand us even if they have limited language. Some babies and toddlers can begin saying and truly meaning no by 9 months. So again, ask the toddler before you kiss them. Right. And if they say no, respect their no. Right. Don't just kiss them anyway.
Right. The toddlers have an opinion on
they
whether
do.
Or not to
they be. Have an opinion on every fucking thing. True. From their outfit for the day to what you cooking to your outfit for the day.
I don't understand why I can't wear my beach buoys to fucking kindergarten,
I
mommy.
Thought my Princess Elsa with my Timberlands was very, very cute.
What is the issue? I would absolutely let my baby wear a princess dress with Tims to school.
My kid would be trying to wear wigs. Like, you can't. You cannot wear.
I wish you would. Miss Rain, bitch, I dare you to tell my baby that she can't wear her fucking dress.
Oh, man. So Danielle finishes up by saying, we talk a lot about consent, and I believe this needs to be modeled and exercised with our very youngest. Consent is cool. I know this may be a big paradigm shift for a lot of people, but it is important. Sometimes I want to kiss, and my son says no, and I am learning to just leave it at that.
Oh, well, fuck that. Please respect. I'm giving you kisses. I'm kidding.
Please respect the little people in your life. They deserve autonomy. Thanks, Danielle. Danielle, first of all, just right. Y'all really do be putting your faces and hands all over these little people, knowing that they can't handle all of the nasty shit that your grown ass done brought around them just through your face, your mouth.
Like women, many women don't even like their pregnant bellies being touched.
Yeah, no, I mean, and especially without asking. That is the thing,
right,
y'all love.
I mean.
Y'all just walk up to pregnant people and touch them. Bitch, if you wouldn't do it to somebody else, why would you do it to me?
If I don't want you touching my baby when they're still in utero, I don't understand why you...
And then those same people, the ones who like to kiss and all that on babies without saying something, the same ones who be mad when you say, go in there and wash your hands before you come in here and pick up the baby. Like, you are a grown person. You've had all these shots and years of living out in this filthy ass, piss soaked world, and my brand new baby has not. So respect my little nigga and go wash your damn hands before you come in here breathing all in my baby face.
I will fight you.
I don't know why people think, but especially now that it's getting colder and germs and everything is going to start spreading way faster. Y'all have just got to be even more diligent, even when you think you feel just fine. You never know when something nasty is developing
literally
deep inside your chest.
Clothesline you.
So please, leave these kids alone. Amen. Thank you, Danielle, because the people need reminders. It's not even just white people or anything that do this. It's just people who feel entitled to baby spaces for whatever. Like, girl, if my toddler mush you and say she don't want to fucking kiss, then guess what? It's time for you to back the fuck up.
I literally tell people not to touch my dog.
Now, see, that seems foolish because you never know if a dog is not in the mood to fuck with you and just turns around and wilds out on your ass.
But because Link is a Yorkie, she's small and she's like one of the signature, oh, cute little purse dogs. So,
oh, yeah.
Even though her personality and temperament is not giving you that.
I was
going to
say, she's not actually, I wouldn't call Link sweet.
She's one of the shadiest dogs I've ever encountered in my life. Like, literally, expression and all. She side eyes.
I would not call that nigga sweet.
But people will just, but she really loves people anyway. So, like, okay. If you try and, like, touch her, like, she'll likely try and, like, jump up and be picked up and shit like that or whatever. But
okay.
She's my dog and I don't know you. So,
go off, daddy.
Don't.
You're not having that bullshit.
Don't touch my fucking dog. I don't give a fuck.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of The Read. Check us out on social media at This Is The Read. Our website is thisistheread.com. Our late night show on Fuse airs Fridays at 11 p.m. It's called The Read with Kid Fury and Crystal. So, yes, Fridays, 11 p.m. on Fuse. Thank you, DeRay, for being on this past week. Fuse actually just uploaded our full interview with DeRay. So if you like mess, you should go check it out because
pretty messy.
There is mess in that thing. Any news for you this week, friend?
Trilloween is coming up October 30th. Go to trilloween.com, go get tickets. I'm in one of those situations where I've got a costume, but then I also have a costume I really want to wear that's not here yet.
I need to hurry up and order one before I end up going to Party City again.
You know, every now and then a Party City are better. What's the other one called? Is it just called a Halloween store?
Yeah, the pop-ups.
Yeah, the ones that just come around during Halloween.
That's just the Halloween store.
Those are not bad every now in the clutch. Like, I've definitely
they have
popped
a lot of good
Halloween store
and stuff
on like the 29th and been like, oh, okay, I found some stuff.
Maybe I should go now before the actual, you know, Halloween rush.
Yeah.
I need to because I just consistently fail at Halloween costumes every fucking year. I never do a good one.
So,
but,
New
you know,
York,
maybe one day.
Come out to that. Also, thank you to HBO for having me last week at the Watchmen screening. I really enjoyed it, as well as getting to speak to some fellow Black nerds about how we felt about it. And I definitely think you should at least watch episode one.
Okay. Well, yeah, everybody's been telling me that it's in Tulsa, so.
It is very much in Tulsa, and it is also seemingly quite aware. Of its history.
Yeah.
And it's super leaning in directions, but I'm also interested in seeing how else they're going to adapt. Because for those of you who are like, I never read the Watchmen comic books. Oh my gosh, a crime against humanity. But I did watch like the original Zack Snyder film or whatnot. And it's probably about my extensive knowledge. Like I know some other things just through reading nerdy shit throughout the years since then.
Okay.
But this is made or directed by, I want to say his name's Damon Lindelof, who is an actual fan of Watchmen. And it's kind of like a what if sort of thing in a different region after the events of the comics or whatever. So for those of you who are interested, that's what you're dealing with. But you also get to see Regina King in a really cool costume beating the everlasting shit out of people, which is all that I wanted. I said down there when I heard that Regina King was like in talks to be in the Watchmen thing, I was just like, I want to see her kicking ass. Like, I want to see her fighting. But I feel like a lot of times in these types of films, they hire really great performing Black actors, specifically female Black actors, and they'll give them the role of someone powerful enough to deliver great monologues, but not powerful enough to actually physically fight, i.e. the president or a high ranking officer of whatever, a lawyer or something. So I've kind of figured, okay, Regina's probably going to be, you know, the lieutenant of whatever the fuck, and is going to be superheroes running around while she acts her ass off. She does both. And she doesn't go home, at least not yet anyway, to some dark life where you find out that she was abused by her dad and nobody loves her, or worse off, someone does love her but she won't let them because she's got a great Black husband at home, kids laughing at dinner, kicking crime ass, you know, when the sun goes down. I'm into it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me because I really enjoyed it. I had a good time and all of that was nice.
But when you said it kind of imagines like a what if, I thought about Frank Ocean and that prep party. Is it like what would Tulsa be without the race riot?
No, I mean, Watchmen kind of in theory is almost what if-y because a lot of it, from what I've gathered, is sort of like alternate. It's kind of like an alternate world in a sense. So certain things have happened that may have affected history differently than what you expect. But it does start with like the massacre in Tulsa.
Oh yeah, they call it the massacre now.
And some other things. It's like, you know, if Black people have gotten reparations, which is referred to as something, I think they call them Redfordation. I'm saying too much. Watch the show.
Okay, yeah. All right, it sounds good. Okay, shout out to HBO.
But that's it.
All right. Well, do we have an acronym or one of your inspirational quotes or whatever before we get out of here?
Do we ever?
Really.
No.
Do we ever actually say anything, you know, that helps other people at this point of the show? I don't think we do.
I will say, call someone that was instrumental in you still being here. And tell him thanks and you love him.
That is beautiful.
Yep.
All right. We will see y'all next week.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.